In case you know, it's Christmas time. I want to think about that for a little bit, look at several passages of Scripture that maybe would help us to understand a little bit better the significance of the first Christmas. I appreciate Brother Rut Jack's assisting on a very short notice this morning, and I knew you could do it. Known him a long time. We're good friends, and appreciate what he shared about the from the newspaper. I didn't read my paper yet. When I get home, maybe I'll find it somewhere in Strawberry and look at it. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And beginning at verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I, in the midst of all the hustle and bustle that we go through around Christmas, and the feastings and the visiting and all the things that we do during our preparation to celebrate Christmas, what does Christmas really mean to you? What should it mean to us? I'd like to share three or four things that I hope will be of some help to you and me. First of all, Christmas time was a time of revelation. Time of revelation. Genesis 3:15, we have the first verse that indicates the coming of a Savior. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. First messianic promise of a Savior to come. In Isaiah 7:14, Jesus said that the virgin would give birth to a son, and they would call his name Jesus. In Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so for several centuries, those prophetic verses were not fulfilled. But in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And so God kept His promises, and He fulfilled those promises by sending His only begotten Son to this sinful world, be rejected of men, crucified on the cross, to pay our sin debt in full. Christmas time then was a time of revelation. First Christmas time was a time of rejoicing. When Mary was told that she had been chosen to be the mother of a heavenly child, she said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." And so Mary rejoiced when it finally dawned on her what God had chosen her to do, to be the earthly mother of a heavenly child, His only Son. The Bible tells us that the angels rejoiced. The first angel, of course, reported to the shepherds that the Christ was born. And then there was a multitude of angels that came together, and they were praising God and thanking God and rejoicing in the heavens because Jesus had been born. John said, "The Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So Christmas time was a time of revelation. It was a time of rejoicing. Anna, who was a prophetess, rejoiced when she knew that Jesus had been born. Others in the scriptures rejoiced when they learned that Jesus had been born. So Christmas is a time of revelation, a time of rejoicing. Sad to say, it was a time of rejection for some. When King Herod was given some information concerning the Christ child, he wanted to know where the child was so he could go and visit him. Of course, what he wanted to do was get rid of this king that had been born. And God didn't allow the Magi, the wise men, to go back and report to the King Herod where Jesus had been born. Sad to say, today many are still rejecting the Christ of Christmas. They have no time for Him. They say, when it's convenient for me, then I'll think about my need of salvation and my need to have a spiritual birth. But I'm not prepared to do that yet. Put it off. Christmas time is a time of rejection for some. Only you know in your own heart whether you've received Christ or not, or whether you've still rejected Him. And I would certainly urge you, if you've been rejecting Him to this point in your life, that today you would make room in your heart for Him and invite Him to come in and forgive you for all of your sins that are past, and give you a new heart, a new life, and a new birth, and a new start as a Christian. Christmas time was a time of redemption. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. I guess when a couple is expecting a baby, one of the big things you have to figure out is what we're going to name this child. But God didn't give Joseph and Mary the opportunity to choose the name that their baby would have. God says His name shall be called Jesus. Jesus means Savior or Deliverer. It is equivalent to the Old Testament word of Joshua. I think it's interesting that the angel didn't announce Jesus as a great preacher or a prophet or a miracle worker. The angel said His name should be called Jesus, because He will be the Savior. And so that's very, very important to know that Jesus is the Savior which God has provided for us. The Bible says that Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give His life a ransom or many. Many people spend many bucks, a lot of money, to get extravagant and expensive gifts at Christmas time. And if you've got the means and that's what you want to do, I guess that's okay. But the greatest and most expensive gift you could ever receive, if you have it already, and to be free to you, is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life. And this would be your best Christmas ever if that's what you need to do today. And then for those of us who've already put our faith and trust in Him, and we know we have eternal life because of what Jesus has done for us, how often do we remember to thank Him and praise Him for that? Paul said, "Thanks be to God for His unspeakable," or we could say, "inexpressible gift." How can we really describe all that Jesus is to us? Well, maybe we can. I'm not sure in our human bodies whether we can really describe everything that Jesus is. But we can know Him in our heart by faith, because that's why He came to this earth, to give Himself a ransom for us. It's sad that today Christmas has become more of a holiday than a holy day. You probably heard people say, maybe some have said to you, Happy Holidays. If you said, if you would say Happy Holy Day to somebody, they probably wouldn't know how to respond to that unless they know Jesus already. Jesus' birth was so significant that history is measured by B.C. and A.D., before Christ and after death. I guess his birth was the most amazing thing that's happened on this earth since God made it, other than the creation itself, that God spoke into being. So, what is your relationship with him today? Have you tried to share him with others during this Christmas season? When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And so his chief purpose in leaving his heavenly home and coming to this sin-cursed world was that we might have everlasting, eternal life, a free gift from God. You can't earn it, you can't buy it, you don't deserve it, but you can have it if you will confess your need of him today. I hope you'll have a wonderful Christmas. Maybe you'll reflect on these thoughts a little bit. Christmas time is a time of revelation, a time of rejoicing, a time of rejection, and a time for redemption. Now, normally we don't end our services. I'm not critical of Dr. Reasoner. I admire him, and I'm appreciate him so very, very much. But we're going to have another song. There was no room in the inn for Jesus, so he was born in a stable. And so the songwriter wrote the song, Have You Any Room for Jesus? 328. And since today will be the last Sunday of this year, it may be the last service that we'll have together as a congregation before next year. It may be that some of you would just like to come and kneel around the altar, stand before the altar, and give thanks to God for the gift of His Son. Maybe rededicate your life at the end of this year to get off to a good start in the beginning of the new year. Whatever God speaks to you about in your heart that you need to do, that's what I urge you to do. We'll sing the first and last stanzas of hymn number 328. Have You Any Room for Jesus? Please stand. Have you any room for Jesus? And ask admission, sinner, will you let him in? Room for Jesus, King of glory, hasten now his will obey. Swing the heart's door widely open, bid him enter while you give to Jesus. Father, we do want to give thanks to you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for your love that prompted you to send your only Son into this world for our salvation. I thank you for your watch, care, and safekeeping, your grace. I thank you for this wonderful congregation. I pray that you would bless each and all. Keep us safe. Keep us in your care. Help us to be a witness and a lighthouse to others. We thank you as surely as Jesus came the first time to be our Savior, he was coming another time, a second time, to catch us away, to be with him, and to live in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. And that's our hope. Bless these dear people with your peace and blessings, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.